Good morning. This is Wyoming Debrief from Wyoming Public Radio News. It's Friday, March 7th. I'm Charles Pelkey with these news stories from around Wyoming. The 68th Wyoming Legislature's general session adjourned yesterday. The session was memorable for a number of reasons. Among them, it marked the first time the Wyoming Freedom Caucus, or any state's Freedom Caucus, grabbed the reins of power in a legislature. It featured groups of bills reshaping elections, property taxes, abortion, and charter schools, and bans on where transgender people can go. And it was punctuated by the first time in recent memory that lawmakers declined to pass a supplemental budget. Here's how House Speaker Chip Nyman summed up some of his chamber's work.
The House brought the most historic education bill since the creation of the Hathaway Scholarship Program, and that bill was House Bill 199. The House repealed gun-free zones, an effort over a decade in the making. Our members worked on multiple bills as a team, creating amendments and working together to protect women and girls in their athletic competitions and private spaces.
A few prayers and standing ovations later, and the 68th legislature gaveled out for now.
Ladies and gentlemen, the House is adjourned.
Governor Mark Gordon signed another 8 bills yesterday as the legislature wrapped up this year's general session. The new laws include some legal immunity for anyone reporting a drug overdose. Another requires electric utility companies to make wildfire mitigation plans and sets a high bar for customers to sue them if their equipment sparks a fire that damages homes. Another bars the government from restricting religious gatherings. And one seeks to keep foreign money out of Wyoming's ballot initiatives. With the legislature adjourned, the governor has 15 days to act on the remaining stack of bills on his desk. A recently formed nonprofit in Cody surveyed the community about what sustainable initiatives people want to see there. Wyoming Public Radio's Olivia Wheats reports.
Emily Buckles is the president of Park County Citizens for Sustainability. She says investing in renewable energy could help drive economic growth.
Charging stations, for example, or rooftop solar, things that really make economic sense for this gateway community to start investing in some things like that so that tourists feel comfortable coming here.
The nonprofit asked people what it should prioritize in a survey given out at a film festival they organized in February, before the Trump administration laid off thousands of federal public land workers. Close to 100 people filled it out. Protecting wildlife habitat was number one, followed by improving food packaging, reducing plastics. Third was water use and conservation. The nonprofit plans on making the film biannual and bringing in speakers. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Olivia Wheats at the Center of the West in Cody.
The Federal Wildland Firefighting Force is currently split between 5 land management agencies. A recently introduced bipartisan bill could lead to the creation of a single wildland fire service. The Mountain West News Bureau's Murphy Woodhouse has details.
The Fit for Purpose Wildfire Readiness Act was introduced by new Montana Republican Senator Tim Sheehy and is co-sponsored by California Democrat Senator Alex Padilla. It directs the Secretaries of the Interior and Agriculture to develop a plan for what it calls the National Wildland Firefighting Service, which would be within the Interior Department. In a release, Sheehy said that, quote, "For too long, layers of senseless bureaucracy and red tape have splintered our wildfire management system, failed our brave firefighters on the ground, and let entire communities be wiped off the map by wildfire." Reva Duncan, with the advocacy group Grassroots Wildland Firefighters, agrees that the current system is in need of change.
Wildfire is one of the greatest threats to the U.S. right now.
And that's why she thinks any federal fire service ought to be within the Department of Homeland Security, not Interior. That's one of the recommendations from a recent Grassroots white paper, which also insists that the service be, quote, "managed by people with extensive wildfire experience." For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Murphy Woodhouse.
Robert Frank was a photographer who spent 2 years traveling throughout the U.S. He published the book that made him famous in 1958, but it did not include his photos of Wyoming. Wyoming Public Radio's Susan Izzo reports that an exhibit at the Wyoming State Museum now displays those images.
Robin Everett walks through a small gallery hung with black and white photographs showing the people of Wyoming.
And one of our goals was to have people come in and look at them and hopefully recognize family.
Everett is with the Wyoming State Archives. She says Robert Frank is an influential photography figure.
None of them are posed. He did not let them know that he was taking their pictures.
Frank passed through from Douglas to Graybull, stopping in towns like Casper and Thermopolis. One image was published as part of a Rolling Stones album cover. It depicts an image in front of the Casper courthouse. Everett says it's important that Wyoming residents see these images.
I think that they would realize that they have a place and that Frank thought enough of them to take their image.
The images will be on display at the Wyoming State Museum in Cheyenne until March 29th. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Susan Izzo.
And now let's hear from Ivy Engel with some lighter stories from around Wyoming.
This is Around Wyoming. Here are some stories from around the state. Westview Healthcare Center in Sheridan recently received a rare certification. The Sheridan Press reports the Wyoming Department of Public Health's Healthcare Licensing and Surveys has rated the skilled nursing and rehabilitation facility as deficiency-free. This is the first time in at least 22 years there were no issues in any of the areas the department looked at. A Sweetwater County Sheriff's Office canine will be a little bit safer. The Rock Springs Rocket Miner reports canine Sergeant Apollo will get a bullet and stab protective vest from Vested Interests in Canines, Inc. It will be embroidered with Gifted by Gwen and Gary Walter, the Michigan couple that paid for the vest. A Gillette man has written a children's book to help young kids, like his own, understand the demanding jobs of many parents in the state. The PC Record Times reports David Santoyo was inspired to write My Wyoming Dad while he was working difficult hours at the coal mine. And according to tarotcards.io, Wyoming has the most ghostly curiosity in the country. There are nearly 99 monthly searches for keywords relating to ghostly activity per 100,000 residents. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Ivy Engel.
And now for today's trivia question. In the gallery of House members in the state capitol, one seems to be particularly damaged. What's the backstory? Send us your answers for this week's trivia questions to wyomingpublicradio@gmail.com, and we'll name winners on Monday. That's it for today. Thanks for joining me, Charles Pelkey, on Wyoming Debrief this morning. Join me again tomorrow. And remember to subscribe to get Wyoming Debrief automatically downloaded to your phone and start your day on an informed foot. While you're there, please consider leaving us a review so that other people can find us. Thank you.